Welcome to Software Testing Unleashed, the podcast for testers, test automation engineers, test managers, and developers who want to build great quality software. My guest today is Florian Fieber. He is Chief Process Officer at Test Solutions in Germany and a very recognized expert in the field of software testing. We are doing a year's recap today. We talk about 2025 and give an outlook into 2026 about topics which were discussed by the community and conferences this year, and what testers can do to prepare for 2026. And now, enjoy the episode. And one tip from my side. As testers, we can quickly calculate how much a test costs. But the more exciting question is, how much do we actually save when defects don't reach the customer in the first place? For wind turbine manufacturer Vestas, this involves a lot of money. If their wind turbines come to a standstill, penalties are immediately due. Florian Wartenberg is responsible for the testing processes there and used precisely this argument to convince his management to make more and important investments into testing. He will tell you how he did this on January 28, together with Fabian from CQSE. Join for free at tul.fm/test. The details and the link you find also in the show notes. And now enjoy the episode. Hello, Florian. Great to have you on the show here.
Hi, Richie. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's great. It's our it's the podcast year's end show and time to reflect the year and to make an outlook to the next year. And there is one expert I know who all has a good overview of all the testing areas, and so I invited you.
Yeah, thank you. I hope so. And it feels a little bit like a tradition, to be honest, to be here at the end of the year together with you and talk about the last year.
That's true. So, we did it last year at in the German podcast, and this year in the international one. Maybe what's then up to next year with us?
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So Florian, 2025 is nearly over. When you look at the software testing area, all the software quality stuff at the community, what are your highlights, your remarkable events and topics which shaped our community this year?
Yeah, I think a good observation point is always being on conferences and listening to different perspectives and to talks and presentations by people. So from that perspective, this year has been really interesting. I think topic-wise, of course, the one and only and meta topic was and still is AI, something with AI, yeah. AI testing of AI, testing with AI, everywhere. So this is definitely the topic. It's not the only one. Second topic I've seen also already last year is still accessibility testing, where I see a lot of interesting talks and presentations, but you cannot really compare these two from a granularity perspective, right? So accessibility testing is much smaller. It's relevant. It's more relevant than the last years. And of course, AI testing or testing with AI, testing of AI. We are still learning. We are still challenging ourselves. So I think we started 2 or 3 years ago, at least most of us with the advent of ChatGPT, and we started with being very, see chances, right? So, okay, this is great. We have these possibilities and so on. And I think this year was between dystopia and utopia. Yeah. So on the one side, okay, this will be the biggest transformation and disruption of all times, and we won't need any humans anymore, and we will all be replaced by the AI. And on the other side, and this is what I specifically observed on many conferences that there is a new skepticism or realism, healthy realism, at least from a software tester perspective, to say, okay, this is a good tool, this is a good help, but it's only 80% or 90%, which is okay, but we still have to be skeptical. We still need our skills. We have to do our job. This is why we are here. You will need us. You will maybe even need us more than in the past. And this was my key takeaway, I would say, this year, right? So there was in June the Eurostar conference, and they put it in one sentence with their topic. It was AI on trial, yeah, and that was, I think, yeah, the most important topic this year from my perspective.
Yeah, when we stay at the AI part, what are the real specific and concrete scenarios we can now use AI in for software testing? So, because when I see a lot of conference talks are about, yes, we have to use it, yes, we have to deal with it, yes, we have to learn about AI. But what is, in your experience, really the true benefit now to use AI, and in which direction?
The true benefit is definitely not to replace any human labor. The true benefit is definitely to be much more productive and fast and more efficient in what you do. I think it's a booster, it's an accelerator for being faster and more productive in things what you do. This requires experienced people who know what they do, who know which problem they want to solve, and having a really, really powerful tools at hand to really be fast in what they are doing. So I can achieve my goals, I can perform my activities in a much shorter time than I did before, and or I can do more things or other things I was not able to do them before. I think this is the main driver. This applies to software testing. Maybe in other disciplines or areas that might be different. I don't want to talk about them, but at least from our perspective. And it's also true that it requires skills and upskilling and knowing how to use these tools, having some literacy, but this is probably the booster. But I think we can also see there are thousands of use cases everybody sees, and we imagine we can generate things here, we can analyze things there, and so on. But we also see that in not everywhere, but in some companies, maybe in many companies, they're still missing the real strategic goal or advantage of having AI in place. It's not only doing something with AI for the sake of just doing it. Yeah. So what is the real use case? And we see from surveys and from statistics that the real booster is still sometimes missing. This does not apply, of course, to all companies and all industries, but in general, in average, companies are still reluctant and observing whether this is really a productivity change or not for now. I don't know what will be in 2 years or 3 years, but at least for now.
Yeah. When we look at the test activities now, where do you think, in which activity has all the AI stuff the most benefit for us as a tester?
I think that there was in the last World Quality Report, there was a very interesting figure saying that apparently there is a shift from analytical activities to more generative activities. So it's less analyzing data, finding patterns, for example, or things like that, but rather generating artifacts, generating things and so on. So that's a good source. Maybe we can we can rely on that these kinds of things are more valuable or more desirable maybe than other things. So meaning when we think of generating artifacts, we typically need for software testing, being it ideas, tests, cases with test steps, automated scripts, test data. I think this is probably one of the really, really big advantages we can have if we do it right, solving this problem. So all of these kinds of things are really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you mentioned on the other side accessibility. It's, you say, much less complex than AI. But where are we now with all the accessibility stuff? We have now, since half a year, the regulators in charging us. Yeah. So, but where are the companies now nowadays there?
We would not be there if there would not be the regulatory part. Yeah, we are only there because there is the EU Accessibility Act, I would say. If that would not be there, this topic would be a nice to have topic. Not for everybody, of course, but for many decision makers who have to spend money and things like that, right? So this is always very important. And we always see that this is a big driver, at least for our discipline, being it accessibility or AI with the AI Act or security and things like that. What we have observed, or I have observed, is that companies often underestimate the effort you need for good accessibility testing and comprehensive accessibility testing. That it's definitely not just using one tool or one browser add-on that does all the accessibility checks on your website for you. It's much more things to do, because only some parts can be tested automatically, but there's still a big need for humans in place who do the manual testing, and it's a complementary approach. So what I often have seen this year, that clients, for example, underestimated the efforts we would typically need as a provider, as a service provider, to do a good accessibility testing on some website. So the accessibility test might be bigger than the original design and implementation of some website, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And in your experience, when you do this project, I can think of a lot of projects which are already in development since years, and the product is in releases, they're in production, and now someone is doing this accessibility test, and then another effort is to refactor all the stuff, to rework the stuff, to make it really work in the sense of accessibility. So is this a huge effort you see, that a lot of refactoring, new architecture has to be done, or is it more or less bug fixing style?
It depends, of course. I mean, if you have never invested in a sustainable architecture of your, let's say, for example, website, there are no means in place that help you to provide good accessibility to your users, then you start from scratch. Yeah, you need maybe other architecture or technologies or front-end frameworks or something like that. Coming from the testing perspective and the quality perspective, of course, it's not only the technology being used, but also having the understanding and the mindset in the whole organization or in the whole project to understand that accessibility is not tested at the end and included or introduced or injected into the product, but of course should start as early as possible with a good design, with built-in quality, with built-in accessibility. And that, of course, accessibility testing is only some validating that everything is okay. So I think this is similar to other non-functional testing or test types we see, being it's maybe security testing or usability testing, load and performance testing, and things like that. So we have two maybe perspectives we have here. One might be we have never made up our minds about accessibility in our product. We start with some accessibility testing during UAT. We see, oh, there's a lot of things to do. We might be effective in what we do because we find the accessibility issues before we go on production. But of course, it's not efficient in what we are doing.
Mm-hmm. And do you think there are still companies who are not aware of the accessibility stuff, where you see, okay, you come there and there's no awareness for this stuff at all?
Yes, definitely. Being it on purpose or not, I don't know, but they are not. And one reason could be that the penalties are not as huge or big as they are, for example, with GDPR or with the upcoming AI Act or something like that, right? So there are not such big penalties dependent on your annual revenue, for example, you have. So it's more like maybe let's see what happens. I think still many companies or decision makers who don't take that topic maybe serious enough. So definitely, I would say it's a non-functional criteria. So it has the same challenges and problems maybe as all the other non-functional criteria we know with the products, and might be considered as a nice to have topic, which it definitely is not.
Yeah, I see. So when we close the year 2025 and make an outlook to 2026, what do you think? When you ask your glass, or you're looking in your teapot or something like that, what are the topics in special for the next year we have to deal with? Or are there some similar additional topics which are on the horizon we are not all aware of?
Yeah, so of course, nowadays we typically don't look anymore in our mugs. We typically probably use ChatGPT as an oracle. Of course, I would say looking ahead into next year, still AI and testing will be the topic. This will also be the topic in 2 years, I guess. So from that side, it might become a bit boring, yeah, because we have only mono topic discussions. But of course, it's big enough to have enough subtopics or contents in it. And of course, the agentic AI approach technology is one thing we will see emerging, meaning there will be a further transformation of the role of software testers. It will continue to be a maybe only manual activity, doing manual tasks, but rather more automation using AI technologies and using AI agents that help me fulfill some tasks. So, and my role will maybe shift more in like orchestration, having one or more agents helping me. Yeah, I'm the pilot. I use a co-pilot. I'm not the co-pilot and using a pilot. This is a very important thing, right? And the other thing I would say is, for example, when we look in what the EU AI Act demands from companies and their employees. So when you look at Article 4, it's called AI literacy. It demands AI literacy, meaning enough skills, building up experience, having the right tools and technologies in place, knowing how to handle them and to work with them from all their staff, from all their employees. So I think this will be definitely a big task for all companies next year, not only for the experts, but for everyone, being able, being competent in using AI technology for their work. It's a commodity, right? So it will not change. It's not, am I using AI in my work or not? It's there, and we definitely have to know how to handle it, know the risks, know the challenges, know the borders or the limitations, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So there's a whole part about using AI in my work context as a tester or as a company, but in relation on testing of an AI system, do you see what are there the critical paths for the next year, and or is it a niche problem or a niche topic to test an AI?
It depends. So the consultant answer. We have the question is with what we compare it. So if we have the two pillars or parts, testing of AI and testing with AI, we currently have a bigger impact and more things happening in the whole field of the AI as testware and supporting us as testers in doing our work. This is the biggest impact we currently see where it's mainly used. Of course, testing of AI is important, but compared to the first part, it's still a niche. But of course, for those using AI in their products or AI components in their products, it's not a niche, right? So it's important to handle it properly, the test object of a non-deterministic system. And of course, this is I would not say completely different, but it's different from traditional approaches. We still have our methods and tools and technologies in place. We know as testers, right? We have test processes. We know how to test some systems. But of course, here we have another test object that behaves differently, and we have to make sure how to come up with quality assessments, how to validate these systems. Yeah, and the more we use these technologies, of course, the more we will have risk there. This is why we have the AI Act giving us boundaries maybe or recommendations how to work with systems that are chat assistants that are used in health insurance, for example, or that are used in self-driving cars or things like that. These are systems that are really, really not only important, but also bear high risks maybe in the usage of them. So testing and quality assurance is key in these parts of the industry.
Yeah, yeah. It's now when the testers began to build up their learning plan for next year and getting their budget for learning from the companies. What do you recommend to a tester today to gain up their skills next year? Are there any specific seminars, conferences, or meetups or certifications that you recommend doing next year to grow in the area of software testing?
I would first say there's not the one channel or type of upskilling. All of what you just said is important, and of course people have like more conferences, some like more YouTube videos, some like more go to trainings and things like that. So at the end, I would say it's a complementary approach. Of course, I would encourage everybody, for example, going to conferences. This is always great exchange with people from the industry, with thought leaders. You meet there, you get inspirations and things like that. That's one part. The other part is what I always recommend, if you ask me, for example, training and certification in that field. For example, we have in the ISTQB certified tester portfolio it's been there for 3 years now, one syllabus for AI testing, so the part testing of AI system, and the newest one, which is there for now half a year, three months about is testing with Gen AI. And this is something I would definitely recommend to everybody, because it definitely helps in that field of AI literacy, supporting and maintaining your qualification and your skills in using AI technologies for your very concrete discipline. So these two could be two interesting pillars in your qualification plan next year.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any plan for yourself you want to share with us for your next year in test software testing?
We'll see. To be honest, I have not created it yet, my plan. So I will definitely upskill myself also in this wide field of AI literacy. I would personally like to go deeper into data analytics, into machine learning, into more hands-on using the technology, training models and things like that. So this is something I would personally would love to do more. We'll see what will be there.
Yeah.
What about you?
What
about you?
Yeah, for me too. I also want to do more with the AI stuff, especially using it in the projects and enabling my client teams to use it more in their daily life. And that was one of my questions before. What is the concrete way we can, or specific way we can do it now? And there I want to give a more appropriate answer in the next year to my clients and to their teams. And I think this, there I have also a little bit of a gap I have to gain my skills in this area.
So what I think is really important might be, so if we take the example with accessibility testing we had before, so what I meant when I said, okay, it's not that complex, you only realize that when you, for example, do several trainings or attend different presentations or talks, that you see, okay, I have now listened to, let's say, 5 or 10 speakers talking about some topic, and I identify some pattern in what they say. And apparently, okay, this is the common ground, the common sense in one area. That's important to learn. So it's not only, that's what I also meant with, okay, it's a complementary thing that I have different sources. I learn from, let's say, YouTube videos. I learn from on-site trainings. I learn from webinars or meetups or whatever. And there's might be some repetition of things. And this is also very important to understand and to identify importance of a topic and really to be able to assess a topic.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. Yes, Florian. Thank you very much for your insights for 2025 and 2026. I hope we will see soon again in May. It will be next year, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And thank you so much that you were here on the show. And I wish you a happy new year, because Christmas is already over when the podcast episode is released.
Okay, so thanks. Also from my side, it's been a pleasure as always, but still Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays also to you, and a good new Year.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.